We are up to Perek Yudalit. You know, I noticed that I accidentally yesterday skipped two psukim. So let's just go back and do those psukim. No one noticed it. No. I think with all the confusion.
I noticed it.
Oh yeah.
He noticed it.
Yeah.
Did you say half hollow?
Okay. Wow. Okay. So he did notice. Okay. You should have said something. Okay. Let's go back. Perek Yudalit. For the sake of completion, we shouldn't leave anything out. Okay, I don't have any major comments on Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Pasuk Chaf Beis. Let's go back. Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Boz L'Re'eu Choytei, U'mechonin A'noyim, A'novim, Ashraf. A person that despises or disgraces his friend is a sinner. Okay, there's Dvarm Shutim. And U'mechonin A'novim, a person that cherishes the humble, Ashraf, fortunate is this individual. Let's see the Mitzvah Sosa Chaf Aleph. Boz Lirayehu. Hamavaza Lirayehu. If one disgraces his friend, who choyte. Devarim Shudim. I'm going to go back for just a few minutes. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. I accidentally skipped the Pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Aleph.
What sin is
your... What sin? Kolta Rokula. Abaz liriyu hamvaze liriyu hu chayte chazal say it's a bizrayu the shvichas stomim. It's a subcategory of murder to disgrace, to embarrass your friend by causing the blood on a person's face to turn pale. You're causing the blood to be diminished. So that's a gather of shvichas stomim. It's pretty serious, no? So habaz l've'ehu hamavaz l've'ehu hu chayte u'mechaynein. The next words, hamare l'anov mechanina. A person shows a humble person kindness, grace. Chanina is grace, v'ahava, and love. Ashrei lo, fortunate is this person who's kind. So the word ashrav means fortunate is he. So to review the pasuk, habaz l've'ehu chayte, one who disgraces his friend is a sinner, but u'mechaynein anavim, one who shows kindness, grace, generosity to the humble, ashrav, fortunate is such a person. Okay, pasuk habeis, halo yisu chorshe ra, yisu means to err, to make a mistake. Chorshe tos, chorshe means to plow. We've had this word multiple times in Sefer Mishlei. In this Mishlei, it always means to think, to plan, to plot, to scheme. So people who plan chorshe ra, people who plan evil against their neighbor, halo yisu, they're making a big mistake, because ultimately their evil plans will boomerang upon themselves. And the pasuk concludes, v'chesed v'emesh chorshe tov, but it is an act of kindness, an act of truth, to be chorsh, to plan good upon one's friend. If chorshe ra, verse chorshe emes. For chorshe ra, yisu, it's a mistake, but for chorshe emes tov, it's not a mistake, and in fact, it's a chesed and it's emes. Mitzudus pasuk habeis, halo yisu, hachoshvim ra, the word yisu, chorshe means to think, or plan. Haloy toyim heim bedatan. They are making a very great mistake. What's the mistake? Ki choshu al azulos. They think they can harm someone else. They think that they have the ability to bring harm upon another person. Uve emes aleihem toshuv. The truth is, their evil plans will one day come upon themselves. Aval. However, hachoshim toiv, someone who plans to do good, hu chesed v'emes. This in Hashem's book is kindness, and it is emes. Ki be'avur machshavosam hatoiva, due to their good plan, their good thought, yimosheich aleihem chemes, Hashem will bestow upon them kindness. V'yumas machshavosam al mi asher choshu hatoiva lov, Hashem will grant the person siyata d'shmaya, that his plans will come to fruition. He will succeed. Emes here means it will come true. If a person truly plans to be good, to do kindness to another person, he is sincere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant him the siyata d'shmaya for him to succeed and give chesed, bestow chesed to another person, and that way he will also receive great reward in the next world for what he has done. Okay, two psukim, by accident we left them out, so we've done it for the sake of completion. Now we can go right to where we're up to. We are up to Pasuk Chof Tes. Erech Apayim Rav Tevuna. Uketzar Ruach Merim Eidos. In Pasuk Chof Tes, a person who is patient, slow to anger. I should say patient, but it's slow to anger. Does not get angry quickly. Rav Tevuna, deep in this person is great wisdom. It requires great wisdom to overcome one's impulses and to be slow to get angry. Uketzar Ruach, a person that has a short fuse, he gets angry very quickly. Meirim Ivelas. Meirim Ivelas can mean multiple things. The simple interpretation is he is taking for himself foolishness. Meir means Lashon of Truma, to lift up. He is taking into himself foolishness by choosing to have a short circuit. Let's see Pasuk of Tesim in Metzudos David. Erech. All what?
Under all circumstances, you
everything in life is a balance. Is totally in the balance. We all know that. There are always exceptions, and there are many. Generally, it's a general good rule. It's a general rule not to get angry quickly. There's a time to get angry. You can't let people step all over you. You have to get angry at some times. The Gemara talks about the different Amorayim. They would do things, they would at least show anger in order to mechanech their children and their Talmidim, to teach them. One of the Amorayim, he would throw soup. Who was it who threw soup on his Talmidim? Zerei Gemara. They came in, hot soup, cold soup. He let them have it. Okay, every person is different, but there's a general rule of thumb. Erech Apayim Rav Tevuna. Let's see the Mitzudos that says Mishainim Ma'amar Lichos. A person that is not quick to get angry. Hu Rav Tevuna. He is a very wise man. Aval Kitzar Ruach. What does that mean? Ha'amar Lichos. Hu Meirim Hoivelas Al Hatvuna. He is lifting up. He is elevating foolishness over understanding. By getting angry quickly, he is revealing that it's not a bad thing that foolishness is greater than understanding. Ki al yidei hakas, through anger, hachochma mistakeles, through mistalekes. We had this many times, the idea that through anger there's a curse. Anyone who gets angry, he becomes foolish. Uboicher huim kein biveles, by getting angry, he's choosing foolishness, yoyse min hachochma. Rashi, meirim aiveles, mafrisho lechelko, he's taking foolishness into his essence, into himself. Pasik lamed. Pasik lamed is the people. Pasik chaye visorim lev marpei urikav atzamos kina. It's a famous pasik, especially the second half of the pasik. So let's read the first part. We'll read the first half backwards. Lev marpei, a soft heart, a heart that doesn't get angry. It's the same idea as the previous pasik. A soft heart is chaye visorim, is the source of good health. One's basar is chaye. Chaye in this context means healthy. Healthy, vibrant, strong. It comes through having a good heart, not getting jealous, and not being jealous of one's friends. That's the context of this pasuk when we contrast the beginning of the pasuk to the end of the pasuk. Because the end of the pasuk says, "Urikav atzamos kina," that kina, jealousy, if you read the words backwards, jealousy is the source of the decay of bones. And once a person's bones are not functioning, that means he's a goner. And even in the grave, it means that a person's bones is a chazal, that a person that does not have jealousy in this lifetime, when he dies, his bones do not rot, and they are ready for Techiyas Sanesim. We, of course, don't understand the depth of what this means, because Techiyas Sanesim, anyway, the body has to be rebuilt. So what difference does it make if the bones have been decayed or not have been decayed? Obviously, there is some significance if a person can come to Techiyas Sanesim with his bones intact. There's still original bones that will have an impact on the person's afterlife. Let's see Pasuk Lamed in the Mitzvot. Chaye v'chaye v'sarim, healthy flesh. Notice that the beginning of the pasuk is contrasting flesh to bones in the end of the pasuk. End of the pasuk, there are bones, and the beginning of the pasuk, is flesh. So the pasuk says, "Chayiv v'sarim mi sheyesh lo lev rafui," a person that has a soft heart. Now, what does it mean to have a soft heart? The enoi maksha libo lintar kina. He does not harden his heart to take revenge. Hulo l'chaye v'sarim. Such a person will have a healthy existence. It will be for him what? Jealousy. Well, here it says kina, jealousy. Okay, jealousy. Jealousy and revenge go hand in hand. When you're jealous, then you have a tendency to take revenge. But you're right, in Echlam is kina, jealousy. Hulo l'chaye v'sarim. A heart that is soft, does not get jealous, will be a source of healthy flesh. Ki lo yidag eich uvameh yinkoim nokom, he will not worry, will not be planning and plotting the entire day how to take revenge. Period. Avol, but the pasuk concludes, hamak shlibo v'noiter kina, a person who hardens his heart and he guards jealousy within, husiba, such an attitude, such feelings in one's heart, husiba lohavi rikavon biatzmoisav, it causes a person's bones to rot, lehis madas hadaga, due to the intensity of worry, the intensity of worry, and in this case jealousy, this has an impact upon a person's bones and they decay. Well, that's, I guess, what it means. We say in the Birchas Rosh Chodesh, Chilutz Atzamos. It's one of the things that we have misspelled. In fact, the Gemara says, Zumu Ula Shebe Brachos. It is the best. It is the most elevated of all the brachos to be mevakesh for Chilutz Atzamos. What does that mean, Chilutz Atzamos? Strong bones. If the bones are functioning properly, Chazal, I don't know what doctors say about this, but if the bones are functioning properly, the marrow and all the whatever's supposed to be in the bones is 100%, then the whole body, everything is good. Zumu'ula shebe brachos, chilutz atzamos, or it simply means the bones are put into their joints. The bones, chilutz means to be like chalitza sanual, when you take off shoes, you untie the straps. So the same word is used in the opposite form of chilutz, is when the bones are tightly pressed in their sockets, they're put in their place. Chilutz atzama. So here we have this pasuk. The pasuk tells us that according to the mesudas, the pasuk is discussing the living. A living person, if he holds back from getting jealous, then he will be healthy. His mind will not be busy with daigos, with planning and plotting. He will have good health. However, Chazal interpreted this in reference to the dead. That a person who dies, who did not have jealousy in his life, his bones will not rot. Let's first see Rashi. Rashi says, "Chayiv v'sadim lev marpe, lev basar, a lev basar shehu roifei es hara'ah." Now, what does that mean? Rashi is coming to explain what it means. Marpe. Marpe literally means healing. The Mitzuda says it means a heart that's content. It's not jealous. So how does healing have to? What does healing have to do with contentness? Lev basar. So first of all, when it says here, the lev referring to a heart of the flesh. Shehu roifei es hara. The healing is it heals evil. What does that mean? It means, Rashi explains, the oiver al midosav. Healing evil is another form of he's mavir al midosav. He does not get angry. He does not get jealous. Such an individual who has this thing called lev marpe, we go to the backwards in the pasuk to the first two words, who chei viriyosav shel hakadosh baruch hu shehein basar v'dam. He is the life of the creatures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are Basar V'dam. Rashi obviously is adding here an enormous amount of interpretation. Lev Marpe, person who's Mavra Al Midoisav, is one of Hashem's creatures. Is one of the creatures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for. He is a Chay, he is the living. Living means life that comes Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Visarim. Visarim means Basar V'dam, Lashon of Basar, but a creature that is one of who identifies with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has great nachas and satisfaction from a person that chooses to nurture his heart and the Mavir Al Midoisav. Yeah?
I read something interesting. Rav Schwab, the Chronal Bracha, has an interesting concept. We make the Bracha for a full on Shabbos, say, full Sanatesh or full Sukkot.
Okay.
His contention is most of our illnesses, physical illness, many of them, come from the soul, from the Nefesh. Otherwise, what, if you're just talking about a physical injury.
Well, Chazal said that every chayla in the guf is rooted in the spiritual, in the Navera. We don't know how this works. And the Rabban talks about this, that in the time of the Nevi'im, if a person had a cold, he go to the Navi, and the Navi looks at you, examines you, and he tells you what you did. He tells you what aver you did. And he says you should do the tshuva, and he gives you a plan of doing tshuva, and through the tshuva, the guf heals. An illness in the body is nothing more than a reflection of a choli ha-nefesh. So, but we're not on the Madrega to know how these things work. So we live in the blind. We live.
But he's saying it. But he's saying really.
Yeah.
Saying it's even more intense.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why are you asking for both?
Refuas ha-nefesh, refuas ha-guf. Once you do the refuas ha-nefesh, mele the guf will be healed. Yeah, that's part. I don't think it's only his. That's a universal interpretation of the Chazal.
I would venture to say, you ask most people, when you make it a Misha Baruch Bochad, you're making mostly looking at the physical side.
Well, of course. I mean.
Depends who.
Every time a Baal Madrega, every time a person has a difficulty in life, it is part of Yadus that you're supposed to make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Is there something wrong that I'm doing in my life, which Hashem is sending me a message?
But that's what you see. Then you have people who are very ill, for example, who are very bitter about this situation, and it affects their soul, their spiritual soul.
Okay, so they're
asking for a healing of both sides, not just the illness, but the person's ability to adjust emotionally to their situation.
Enochanami, you do the best you can do. We don't have Nevi'im Bizman Hazeh, and everyone on their Hashem deals with the person on their Madrega. On every person is different. You can't generalize, but every person has to realize that if they have a difficult lav dafka in health, in anything in life, if there's a difficulty, it requires a person to make a cheshbon hanefesh. What is he doing wrong in his spiritual life, which perhaps what's happening to him physically is a wake up call for him to repair any spiritual damage. There used to be years ago, not now, not in our generation, but there are many stories in old hundreds of years ago when Rechmona Litzlan there was a magefa, or there was some tzara in a city, the rabbanim would come together and they would analyze if are there any sins in the community. Are there any? Let's make a cheshbon nefesh. Let's pull out the records. Let's take out the newspapers. Let's see what is taking place in society. Did something happen in our community that was an avla, and we just let it go by? Was there a din Torah? Were there two people fighting in business? Did someone open up a store and took away someone else's business? Did someone insult someone in the Beis HaKnesses? Was there something that happened in the community which was considered a sin, and the Rabbanim and the community just ignored it and let it happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now speaking to us. And they went so far, this was common, where the Rabbanim, after analyzing the event, what's taking place in the city, if they could not find anything wrong, they would make an announcement. If anyone here in this community is aware of an avla, of a sin, of something that is wrong in the community, there is a problem that has not been properly addressed, come forward. We demand you come forward, because it's very likely that the sin that you know about is the cause of this sorrow that we're now facing. It's the cause of this magefa. This was very common. If you read these stories, this is what a community was all about. There are rabbanim, and the rabbanim accepted upon themselves the responsibility to know, to make sure averos are not happening, not publicly and not privately. And if there was a problem in the community, they would immediately, that was their job, to attribute to what sin is causing this avera. And if they did not so, they would publicly ask the community to assist them in bringing forward averos. Obviously, living in this generation, that is impossible. And not only is it impossible...
Yesterday, you had one shul, and everyone came, and everyone was more or less involved, our Avim Zelazer. You could do that today when everyone is... I don't belong to your shul. It's your problem.
So,
just fit in with the Rafa Yerafe.
Mikan didn't reshus loyfe lerape. That's what the Ramban says. Really, doctors should not be allowed to heal. If a person is sick, then the person has to do tshuva. He has to figure out what his aver is, do tshuva, and through the tshuva he will be healed. The fact that Torah says verape yirape is a revelation that not every person is on that madrega. Not every person is on that spiritual level. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sends a message. If you don't get the message, okay. You don't have to get the message like the GPS. You miss the exit, okay. So you miss the exit, recalculating. So you go further in life. You missed out on something. You're going to lose some time, but you have to go forward so the doctor can heal and take away the choli, even though the sin has not necessarily been addressed.
had this happen, by the way, what you just laid out, it happened relatively recently in the 80s.
Yeah.
In the 80s, where a community in Queens, the mikveh was possible, they found out. The area was no good. The mikveh was an area in Queens. The mikveh was possible, they found out. The Arab was also no good. And the mikveh, the Arab, and the local butcher was caught with typhus.
So they all
in the space of a year. And the Rabbanim got together to say that there's something wrong in the community. In other words, that they didn't blame one person here, because all these three things are the backbone of Yiddishkeit. It was a problem that they had to address and ask everybody as a community to do tshuva. I remember because, and then the whole story came out, yeah.
But many of these stories are the other way around. Let's say, Rachman al-Sun, someone in the community is not well. Or there are many people in the community that are not well. And it's malumi derech hateva, it doesn't make sense. Why should there be so many people who are not well? And then they'll investigate and they'll find the mikveh is no good, and they'll find that the meat is no good. They make an investigation.
Major problems.
Problems. This traditionally was the role of the community leaders, of the Rabbanim. Today, you start criticizing someone that this is no good. You want to criticize me? I have what to say about you. We live in a very different world today. It's very, very, very difficult.
It's not me.
What? That's the problem. Exactly. That's the problem. Okay. So let's go further. So this is this idea we touched upon. Lev Marpe. So Chaye Lev Marpe. Chaye is very, very interesting. Pshat and Rashi. I don't really have clarity in what he means over here. But Lev Marpe, person that chooses to be Mavir al midoisav, chayev v'sarim. He's one of Hashem's people. He is what we call chayev. This is a very strange expression. Rashi chayev v'riyosav shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He is a creature, a living creature of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shehein basar v'dam. And the reason why we call him a chayev v'riyosav, the word v'sarim is used because a living creature of Hakadosh Baruch Hu is called basar.
So the story all the time about someone at a wedding didn't have children for a long time. And
didn't give shatchanis, insulted someone.
She said, please don't get angry at her.
So we have to take a grain of salt, all these stories. All these stories, sometimes it's just a coincidence. If it works, it works. All right, in Achnami, to each his own. Every
friend has a friend, pediatrician.
Yeah.
Kids were getting viruses, colds all winter.
Yeah.
The doctor says to him, when's the last time you checked the mezuzahs?
Yeah. The doctor says this. The doctor says this.
That would have been.
So of course my friend said, I'm not here for that. I didn't come to the doctor for that.
I know, that's scary.
Okay. Unfortunately, we digress, but I had an uncle in Chicago who he was very sick, and he went to the doctor. The doctor told him he was sick, but the symptoms were, he finally, after a few weeks of coming back and forth, he said, tell me, what do you do for a living? And he told him, and he says, I think you have to change your profession. He was a rabbi in a shul. And he quit. And he took a job as a rabbi in the yeshiva.
Stress related.
Yeah. Yeah. There have been numerous
he was sick. It's not,
that show that people who are depressed do poorly in the same, if you control the illness, the same degree of illness. Let's say people entering a hospital for a heart attack, you give them a questionnaire where you determine the degree of depression that they have. The people who are depressed do much poorer than the people who are not depressed. Same thing with many other illnesses. You can get ulcers from being stressed and so on. So I think that refuahs hanefesh
refers attitude, mindset, mental issues.
Influence, because there's no question of mind influence.
Okay.
So we're going to send a clown along with us.
Well, they send clowns to hospitals.
Yeah.
Are you volunteers?
Okay, I'll tell you a joke just to line things up. There was once a irreligious family. Irreligious, you mentioned mezuzahs. There was once an irreligious family where they were part members of a Reformed temple. And then after high school, one of the children went to Eretz Yisrael, birthright, and all of a sudden, one thing led to another, the child became a Haredi. And then this happened to the next child, and the next child. So the parents were going out of their minds. What happened to their children? So they go to their female rabbi in the Reform Temple, and they tell her the problem. So she says, check your mezuzahs. The kids were going off of there, exactly. Check the mezuzahs. It's all relative to which derech you're on. All right, let's go to the next. So, Rukavat Samos Bal Kina. Now, this, as we mentioned, Rashi says Rukavat Samos Kina Adam Bal Chema Rikavon At Samos Hulakol. Now, what does Rashi here mean? A person who's a Bal Chema, a person who gets angry. Rashi has changed from Kina, from jealousy, to Chema, to anger. Rikavon At Samos Hulakol. Now, what does it mean Lakol? I don't know really what this means. A lot of these Rashi have a very hard time translating. He is a source of the rotting of bones for everyone. What does that mean? It's contagious? It's contagious?
He gets angry, he makes other people upset.
Could be. That's very, very passive.
English, this is an expression, getting under somebody's skin. He gets under your skin.
You see, very often you can have one person, you can have 50 people in a room, and there's one person in the room that is just very unpleasant, and he ruins the atmosphere, the ambiance for everyone. And it's very true. So maybe that's what Shulim is over here. The person is jealous, a kinna. It's not just for one person's set of bones. His influence can affect an entire community. Okay, now both Rashi and the Mitzudas did not mention the Chazal. Chazal is a Gemara Masech the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Beis, which makes it very clear that the Rekav Atzamos Kina is after death. We mentioned this already before. When a person dies, his bones, well, first the Basarats. In fact, in the minhag of burial in ancient times, it was person dies and they bury him in a shallow grave and they wait about 12 months or so until his flesh completely decays. And then, no, not in a cave yet. First, they put him in a shallow grave out in the field and they let his basar decay. After the basar decays, they do what's called likut atzamos. They go to the shallow grave, they open it up, there's no flesh left, there's just a skeleton. And they take the bones of the skeleton, they take them apart, it seems, because the skeleton is still, the bones are still attached to some degree. They take them apart and they just package it up nice and tight. So you can take a human body and you can put all the bones into a very small little box. That's what it's called? Just the bones. And the little box of bones, they slide into a cavity in a cave, so you can put a whole family, a whole generation of families in a very small area, because the bones don't take up all that much space. In other words, the bones don't decay. The bones don't decay. I don't know what the statistics are for how many years. Bones, it can take even 100 years, 200 years until bones eventually they turn into dust. But it takes a very, very long time. And in that period of time, you take the bones, you put them into a crypt, and they're put away, and that's called likut atzamos. Now, over here, there is a chazal that tells us that not all, sometimes the bones in these crypts, they remain forever, and sometimes they rot. There is some rikavon which caused them to turn into dust. So if a person wants to merit that the bones will not turn into dust, then he needs to live a life without jealousy. It's after, the pasuk is referring to after death, not during life. I'll read you the Gemara says. The Gemara really illustrates this with a story. There was a Maisha Hoya, Rav Nachmar Yitzchak Hoyelo Tel Afar. He was a farmer. And he was plowing he was working there on his field. The workers came there to remove a mound. The chaf roso kol hayom kulo, and they were digging the entire day. Okay, go run further in the Gemara. And then the next day, as they were digging, all of a sudden, someone began to move. Someone there in the grave, someone there underground, began to shake. In other words, there was a dead body. They came across a dead body in the field. And the dead body began to speak. And the dead body said, is it time for Tchiyas HaMesim? Shema Higiyah Zman Tchiyas HaMesim?
This Gemara
says the Shabbos of Kufnun Beis. Did Tchiyas HaMesim come? So they said to him, Ratzu Hapoilim, so they ran, they were obviously were terrified. It's a horror movie. They ran to Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman wasn't afraid. Rav Nachman was used to these types of things. Bo Mutsoy Amalo Miata, who are you? You're a dead man talking, who are you? Amalo Mesani. So again, he repeated, is it time for Tchiyas HaMesim? Your workers are digging, which seems to indicate that such a thing that when Tchiyas HaMesim comes, we're going to have to, can you imagine something like that? You have to go to the cemetery to get your relatives? We're all brought up with the notion that Tchiyas HaMesim, they just come up. No, they're locked in. the caskets are pretty, they're tightly, those heavy matzevos. Some people that have these massive mausoleums.
Body can be buried.
Because yeah,
because of what you just said, the bones get frightened.
They're frightened.
So great that you know they think Tchias Amesim is coming. So you're not allowed to dig up a body and rebury it because something, you know.
Sometimes they do that in Europe. They
Al Tanai. Al Tanai. If they buried Al Tanai,
and now the family lives in New York and they want to rebury. The
can't do that. Can't do. But to go to Eretz Yisrael. But to go to Eretz Yisrael, it's not even. That's also not so pashut. It's a very big b'diavad.
No, only. Was moved. They didn't have a choice.
Depending on what the situation is, but you're not allowed to move it. If it's just for your convenience, you're not allowed to do it because it creates a tremendous upheaval in the soul.
That's what the house of
tradition. The fear is so great, so you don't want to do it.
So what happened?
So this person thought, but I just want to point out that it seems that there is such a thing that not everybody, just like we have the mon, with regard to the mon, that tzaddikim, the mon arrived at the front door, the beinonim had to go travel out into the fields, and the rishoyim, they had to travel miles to go find mon to eat. Tchias HaMesim is different for everyone. For the tzaddikim, they just come right out of the grave. Some people, Tchias HaMesim, they zech Tchias HaMesim, but it seems from Chazal that they'll be knocking on the coffin, can someone please let me out of here? That's what it says. Can someone let me? They're knocking on the grave, let me out of here. So Nachum goes there and says, who are you? So he says, I'm the dead. I hear them making noise, so please get me out of here. They put over here, my family put this thick matzeva. It doesn't budge. I want to get out of here. And by the way, tell them that I don't like what they wrote on the matzeva. So they want to get, who are you? So I'm like, Rav Nachman says, calm down. It's not yet Tchias HaMesim. Go back to sleep. Adayin lo higia zman Tchias HaMesim. I'm Rav Nachman, ma tivcha betel hazeh. What are you doing here? What are you doing in my property? Who put you here? Amaloi, v'haloi amarati lecha shemesani. Amalo, v'chimes ein anirkov. How long have you been buried here? So obviously in the conversation it was revealed this body was been buried here for a very, very long time. And al derech hateva, the bones already would have decayed, would have turned into dust. So amalo, so here's the Gemara. Amar lo, so he says to him, "Hechnisucho lebeis harav lo hikurucha sefer Shlomo." So this dead body insulted Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, you're an Amoritz. You don't know a pasuk in Mishlei. That's what he said to him. You're an Amoritz. Well, go blame your parents. Your parents, they sent you to a yeshiva where they didn't teach you anything. That's pretty much what it says. They send you hechnisucho lebeis harav. Your parents, they sent you to a school, and they didn't do anything. They just sat around and twiddled your thumb the whole day. You didn't learn anything. The lohik rucha sefer shlomo, they didn't teach you a pasuk in Mishlei. It says in the pasuk in Mishlei, perik yudalad, pasuk lamid, urikav atzamos kina. The decay of bones comes through jealousy. And therefore, ma'ase kina, v'anim yomai lohemadati al midoisai, my entire life, I never was jealous of my friend. V'lo tofasti belibi kinas chaverai me'olam, and that's why my bones did not rot. So we have here a new interpretation. We have in Sach HaKol three interpretations for the Pshat and the Pasuk of urikav at Samos Kina, according to the Mitzvot to review, it means good health. You want to live a healthy life, never need to go to a doctor, be mavrel midaisav, don't get jealous. According to Rashi, Urukav at Samos Kina, it's even worse. A person who is jealous, not only does it cause his bones to decay, it's contagious, it causes everyone else. And according to the Gemara, we're not even referring to the living, we're referring to the dead. A dead, the bones of a dead body will not decay. And you'll ask the obvious question, so what difference does it make? Dead is dead. Who cares if the bones decay, the boss does not decay? Obviously, we don't know what this means. There's more to it. There's some type of zuchus, less of a tsar. The body, whatever this means, the neshama goes through pain. And the Gemara says that the neshama, after it dies, it hovers over its body. And as it witnesses the boss or decay, has enormous tsar. So perhaps that when it witnesses the bones decay, it has even greater tsar. And if the bones do not decay, there's something still left of the body, perhaps the neshama has less tsar. That's a chazal. I think we have a right to say at least that much. And a person in his lifetime does not have kina, he will not experience that enormous pain that the body, the neshama experiences after a smay of yeshem. Yes.
Story because of Mordechai Eliyahu that they were bringing the Chida's bones.
The Chida, yeah.
And they were able to dig it up, but they didn't have the bones were all, not connected. And they didn't know what to do, and somehow he said a tefillah, whatever he did, it tikkun, and the bones shook themselves into the right position.
It's very hard to.
Hara Menucha,
yeah.
With the Chida, they reburied the Chida, and they did a big oil on him. When Rabbi Eliyahu died, they put
his kever next to him.
Next to him.
Okay.
They googled. I'll show you a picture. I was there.
When Chazal mentioned the name of a Rasha,
yeah.
When they see, it says, Shechik Atzmosav.
His bones should rot. There should be nothing left. But Etzem means your Atzmios. Etzem, bone comes from the word Etzem. That's another thing. Shem is any remnant. But etzem means your essence. A bone represents a person's essence. When the bones rot, your essence disintegrates. You don't exist. There's no zecher of the person. Okay, now another one other quick thing is that where did I see this? The terminology. The Gemara used the word tarvad. Tarvad means dust. But it's used specifically in reference to the dust of bones. When basar decays and turns into dust, we don't use the word tarvad, we use a different word. And that is rooted here in this pasuk with kav atzamos kina. Is that related to tarvad? No, not necessarily, so I'm not sure where that came from. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk lamed aleph oyshek dol cherif oyseu. A person that oppresses, a person who robs from the poor, cherif oseyu, he has cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol, chas shalom, mevorech Hashem. Cherif oseyu means his creator. He has blessed. Bless is a euphemism for a klala. Cherif oseyu, a person is kaviyachol, being mevorech his creator, if he steals, he robs from the poor. Because he does not believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide parnasa. He believes the only way he can sustain himself is by stealing from someone else. On the other hand, umechabdoi, a person grants honor to Hashem by chonein evyon, by showing kindness, grace to the poor. When a person takes his hard-earned money and gives it as charity to the poor, this is the greatest form of honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you the money not for a purpose, and Hashem can make up the money and can do what he wants. So it's an amazing, it's a beautiful pasuk, because we have many people telling you to do a mitzvah, stock up. Person who sees this pasuk, you have a whole different attitude. Giving stock is a form of being mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many people will come to the shul, they'll bow down, aleinu l'shabeach, karei mishtachavim, they'll do all of these, they'll even give money to a shul, they'll give $1 million to put their name on a building, and they think they're giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here it says that if you want to really give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way you give him honor is by being choinein dal, and vice versa, by exploiting the poor, you are doing the opposite of honor, you're being mevarech Hashem. Pasuk lamalaf, the mitzvah chayv, seyu ki bavur chul shasai, due to his weakness, the person here is taking advantage, the weakness of the poor man, oshko, you rob him. V'choy shev hu she'in b'yad amokam she'osahu, lehatziloi miyad oshko. And a person thinks mistakenly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him, and this person does not have the power to prevent you from succeeding in robbing him. Aval hachoyneines ha'evyon hu mechabedes amokam she'osahu, he is giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has created him.
What would be an example of that? The first part. Where what? You've had a worker? Or you?
Yeah, you have a worker. You cut corners. You cheat. Yeah. You cheated. Simple,
it's not a matter of withholding. The example gave about donating to a building of a shul.
Oshek means theft. There are many types of oshek. It can be withholding what he rightfully deserves, or it could be outright armed robbery, or it can be gnev, or you secretly steal from him. Any type of injustice that's done to a poor person is an expression of cheref oseiwitz ki'ilu yu mevarech Hashem. It shows that you feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is weak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot prevent you from succeeding in your evil plan, and that is the greatest chil Hashem. Okay, let's see Rashi.
So the person decides selectively not to give poor people charity. Is that
not necessarily? I give to other people that only have limited funds. I have limited funds. I give to only people that how much money stuck can I already give? So I have priorities. It's not. That doesn't mean you have to give stuck to every single person that comes your way. You have to make a cheshbon. You make a proper cheshbon. You do what you're supposed to. Over here refers to a person that deliberately he steals, he robs. It's not withholding. It refers to robbing. Oshek means to rob. To rob from the poor. This is kareif.
Remember when you learned Yeshayahu, that was one of the complaints Yeshayahu had against the rich people. Mm-hmm. You remember that, Robert? That you told us that they withheld, they cheated the poor people.
By withholding from them. By withholding what they were in. Okay. Kilo yachdal, the word evyon is a very powerful word. On Purim we have matonos lo evyonim. There are two terms. There's an oni, and there's an oni and there's an evyon. Here we have another word, dol. Dol. Wow, where does dol fit into the picture? So what is dol? Where does dol fit in the spectrum of poor people? Where does it fit? I don't know.
Because dol means weak. And Oshek means strong. It means exploiting or taking
Exploitation. Exploitation. That's what the Mitzvah focuses on. Exploitation. Evyon is toiv lakol. He doesn't have the basic bare necessities. There's a very important difference between an oni and an evyon. Each one has a maila and a chesara. The maila of an oni is he has dignity. An oni is a poor man, but he has something. He has a place to live. He has clothing. He has just barely enough to survive, or maybe not enough to survive, but he has at least his dignity. That's why he's called an oni. An evyon has nothing. So, but worse than the other, when he's been reduced to such a dire state of poverty, he doesn't even have dignity. So he'll stand out in public, panhandling. Because that he's been reduced to such a low state. So it's easier to give him tzedakah. There is no shame. If you give a gift to an evyon, he's pleased. You've made his day. He's smiling from ear to ear. He does not have the shame of soni matanos hichya because of his dire state. An oni is a person that's poor but has dignity and is much more sensitive. If you're going to give him a large donation directly to him, he will feel a sense of shame. It has to be given to him in a dignified way, indirectly. Okay, let's see the next. Now there is one of the Chazal. Oishek dol chefo. Say this is Gemara Masech the Brachas. Yeah. So Mitzudas, look at the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas is Kibal Vorchul Shasai Vaishkoi Vchoishef, who the person thinks She ain biyad hamakom She osahu lehatzilo miyad oishkei. Hashem does not have the power. Hashem is limited. Any time you ascribe limitations to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that in essence is cursing Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't know more than that. Yes, a person that is mevorech Hashem b'shem with Hashem's name is chayiv misa. Correct.
This is
it's not mamish, you know, he's not chayiv misa, so he has not done it. This is mishlei, these are mishalim. But Shlomo HaMelech is telling us that it's a very serious transgression. A person that exploits the poor, it is as if he is the mevorech Hashem. It's the same concept. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are limited. I have more power than you. The creation is greater than the Creator. Such a lifestyle, such an attitude is equivalent to Birchas Hashem. It's blasphemy.
Said earlier about embarrassing a person in public is tantamount to
Shvichas Tanem. Ovad Sumko Chivra. The red goes away and the white comes in place. It's a concept.
Okay, so work the other way around. Listen, you give the Ani something and he's not happy with what you give him and he starts cursing you out. So
That would be the same thing.
No, that's a different story. You, if he's not happy with you, give him, he curses you out, you're potter.
Obviously he's doing something wrong.
Obviously. And they feel they're doing something right. And they have all the excuses in the world. Some of them are very bitter. Some of these collectors, they're very bitter. And if you don't treat them well, then they'll let you have it. They'll let you have it. And all right, let's see.
$5,000. When you oppress the poor or a widow, be extremely careful, because even if what they do is maybe not exactly proper, I'm still going to maybe take their side, because they're in a matzav that's very
dangerous. State of mind,
and I will come to their aid.
Okay, there's a very important Gemara Masechta Brachos. The Gemara tells us, just like in the previous pasuk we said, that Urikav Atzamos Kina, the Pshuta Shel Mikra refers to the living. The Gemara is interpreted in reference to the dead. The Gemara does exactly the same thing here in reference to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. The dead, now discussing the living, we're discussing the dead. Oshek Dol Cheref Aseu. If you see a dead body, and you don't give it its proper respect, because it's not going to talk back to you. Rabbi Kaffir always says that he knows many Rabbanim who retired from the Rabbanus and went into the funeral home business. He says, because it's too difficult. After dealing with Balabat and then talk back to you, you naturally gravitate towards the Parnassa where the Balabatim don't talk back to you. So it says here, we have here a doll. There is no greater creature in this world, a doll and an Evyon, two terms in this pasuk, a doll, the Evyon, than a dead body. Because a dead body can't do anything for itself. And when it's lying in a state of bizoyon due to its matzav, we don't know how these things work. What the neshama experiences after death, and it sees its body lying there, it's vulnerable. It's pitzar. And if the living do not give it the proper kavod, what you have done is, this is a frightening pasuk, cheref oseu. When you come in contact with the dead, watch out. Because it's the greatest form of exploitation. Here I am, I'm alive, and you're dead. Ha ha! Watch out, I can do to you whatever I want. And you can't do anything. You can't do anything. That shows you have no emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the tsar of the neshama and sees your insensitivity towards this neshama. You are a cheref oisehu by not giving the dead the cover that it deserves. This is what the Gemara Masechta Brachos Daf Yud Ches says. And on the other hand, if you give the dead the proper kavod, this is umechabdoi. You are giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Chonein Evyon, by being gracious and kind to the Evyon. Who is the Evyon? Who is the subject? The dead body. There is no greater Evyon in this world than a dead body. No greater Dal in this world than a dead body. I'll read you the whole Gemara. The Gemara really ties in the end of the Pasuk, but it really alludes to the Pasuk as well. The Gemara quotes another Pasuk, but the Pasuk begins, Yudches in Masech de Brachos, Omar Rechava, Omar Rav Yehuda, Kol Aroya Es Hanes Ve'Enoi Milaveyu. Here we're referring to something very similar to escort it. You see a dead body being escorted, a funeral procession, and you refuse to escort the body. Oiver Mishum, different pasuk, Loyeg Larosh Cheref Oseu, it's the same exact end of the expression. A person that mocks the poor, one who mocks the poor, cheref oseu, it's equivalent to being mevorech es Hashem, the im holveu, if you escort the dead body, masachara, what is the reward? Om Rav Yasi, olav akasav amer, malve Hashem chonein dal, another pasuk, it's as if you have lent money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have done something for you, Hashem, and you owe me. When in this world can you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Riboyin Shalom, you owe me. Malve Hashem, I have lent you something, and I have a shtar, I could be toveya from you, the Riboyin Shalom, reward. The only time you can say that is when you are chonein dal, who is the ultimate dal, the dead body. And here, the reason why I'm quoting this chazal is because the Gemara then includes the oimer, and there's another pasuk which brings out the same point, and that pasuk is right here in Mishlei, umichabdoi, you are giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by how? Chonein evyon, by being gracious to the evyon, and the Gemara interprets the dead body. So the Gemara here refers to being malave es hames, which means to eschew. Now, by the way, halacha lemaaseh is very complicated. If you're walking on the street bisman hazeh and you see there's a funeral procession, are you mechuyif to stop everything that you're doing and join the funeral procession and walk dal ames? I know people that do this. Next, I used to learn Chaim Berlin, and next door to Chaim Berlin is a chapel, and every day there are funerals, always funerals, and they line up. When there's a larger funeral, they line up in front of the yeshiva, and if you walk out of the yeshiva, you're going to see in front of you very often, you're going to see a funeral, and many of them. What exactly? So you walk, but sometimes you know it takes a very long time until they start going. They can line up. What are the parameters? How far do you have to wait? So it's not so simple, because many possibly say that since Bisman Hazeh, they're being taken care of. This akad being malaveyu means only when you need it. When you need it, they need you to assist in the burial. So today, you know, they don't need you. It's being taken care of most of the time. So it's not as chomor as it would seem. But of course, it goes without saying that if you come in contact with a funeral procession, there's definitely an inyan to walk dalit amos, or at least mentally to reflect. Here you have a person that left this world, and you have to give another than the person, kavod acharon.
That's why the rabbis who retired do this.
Yeah. The rabbis,
you mentioned earlier, they have the kila, they left the kila, they deal with the dead.
I don't understand.
The rabbis become involved with the chaver kadishas. You mentioned earlier.
Yeah, it was a joke. it's not a joke.
They have a bunch of ayahs from the bani shalayim. They get a bunch of ayahs.
Okay, umechabdoi. Yeah.
It's a note of kosher.
Yeah. The Gemara says, Adam Chasher, the whole klal Yisrael has to come to their funeral. The Gemara says you have to have 600,000 people, and there are different rules. We don't shut their funerals every single day, and we don't go to funerals unless we have to, because it's taken care of.
If
we didn't get all that, you can't live. Go out into the streets.
Good suggestion years back that anytime you see a Hatzolah ambulance going by, you should stop and say Kapitul Tehillim.
Tell him, okay, that's right. Okay, that's true. You mean Mishtatev and the Tsar of someone else. Very, it's true. They say it, and you go online, every often they have, say Tehillim. This person is very sick, please say Tehillim. So there's something to it. There's definitely, take out 20 seconds to reflect. There's another person that is in Matzav of Tsar. Call the Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh. You know, there's something to it. It's not for the person. I remember the story. It always reminds me. So there was a person who came to shul, and he wanted to make a mishaberach. He wanted to make a mishaberach for a chayla, and he was tovir from the gabbai to make a mishaberach. The gabbai says during the week we don't make mishaberachs. We're in a rush, and he really, really bothered. He went to the rabbi, and the rabbi said, "Okay, just make for him the mishaberach." And the rabbi then said to one of the balabatim, the rabbi said, this guy, he thinks it really works. And this is the rabbi. So if I would say it, okay, so you're cynical. But the rabbi is not supposed to say that. This guy thinks it really works. The mishaberach really is going to make a difference. All right, so... it doesn't make a difference if it works or doesn't work. The point is, you have an obligation to be mishtatef in the tsar of another Jew. Whether the tefillah works, whether it doesn't work, that's irrelevant. And you have to have a emunah. The more emunah you have that it works, the more that it will work. But at least the starting point of tefillah for another Jew is, forget about works, doesn't work, I want to be mishtatef in their tzar.
So you're asking somebody to be empathetic versus...
Yes. Yeah, that's right, that's right. That means a lot. And the covet of the living is greater many times than the covet of the dead. A person comes into shul and he's distraught that he has a relative that's not well. And everyone looks around and it's a type of shul where people just mumble up the davening, and really you get the sense that we're just lip service here. We're a lip service shul. You're not going to accomplish anything over here. But still, he needs empathy. He needs someone to commiserate. He needs someone to to feel his pain, and that's a greater chesed. You come to the shul and you make the mishperch for him, and he feels that someone else cares. What greater chesed is there than that? Okay. Also, we always want the people that when they're at the very, very end. Person, it's imminent. A person is a geises, and all of a sudden, everyone is saying Tehillim. Why is everyone saying Tehillim? The person is not going to recover. One in a million. The chance of recovery are going to be one in a thousand. So why are you saying Tehillim? The answer is, there are two answers. The main answer is that you don't know what the neshama goes through at the moment of Misa. There can be a lot of tsar. We don't know how these things work. By saying to him many times, you're not saying to him that he should get better. You're saying to him that he should die in a dignified way. The last moments, the moment of Yitzias HaNeshama, should not be traumatic for the Neshama. Chazal say that when Neshama leaves, he sees the Malach HaMavis, there's an enormous trauma, and that which accompanies Misa. When a person is holding at the very, very end, many people are called to be mispalel for the neshama. The neshama should not experience trauma as it leaves the guf. That's a very, very important thing. And then there's the other reason why you're saying tehillim is to show the family and to show the chaverim of this person, we are mishtatef in your tzar. We know that tefillah at this point is not going to make a difference. Or maybe you'll tell me, api kabbalah will be mispal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the tefillah and will put it away in Shemayim for another chayla, for whom it will make a difference. That's another concept. And we're using this as an opportunity in order to awaken us to be mispal, so Hashem should have, we should have some backup, we should have something in the tank for the future. But more importantly, when you're mispal at the time of Yitzias Neshama, you are showing the living, the family, we are here and we are mishtatef in your tzar. So Tehillim and Mishaberach, it's not just to accomplish the ultimate goal of refuah mamish, but it's to accomplish other many other things also. So let's go further. We have here, so this Oisha Dol Cheref Osei, we took Mechab Luchanin Evyon, the beautiful interpretation, they're referring to the dead, being Malah Hames, and of course Malah Hames is just the tip of the iceberg. After the person that will be escorted, then there's the burial, and then there's the covered preserving the kever. Today it's a very big thing in all different parts of the world, where there are kvarim which are in a state of disrepair, which have to be repaired. And there's a very big debate among the Gedolim if it's really kedai to tax the tzibur for the dead. If people are willing to give stock, maybe it would be much more important, they should give money to day schools. They should give money to chinuch for the living.
Absolutely.
What?
Absolutely. You see, without mentioning places, you see people that say, we're going to this shtetl somewhere, there's no Jews.
No Jews.
Fix the cake.
Fence.
We're going to put up our oil.
And we need $100,000.
We're going to build a hotel for the people who come to visit.
We need $100,000.
And then all the goyim who live in that neighborhood, Yimach Shemam, who are involved, they're the ones who make
get the money, exactly. So what would be if no one would take care of their kvam? It would be the matzah the way it is, and the money would go
till
in there and chanami, and the money would go to much better causes. The things they're not giving for this. Yeah, exactly. So this is a very controversial issue of big money is being spent on.
The most recent one was brought up by
I didn't get a chance. I have the article in front of me. I just didn't get a chance to read this. It's also fascinating. So it was an accident. The whole way that they discovered his kever was an accident. So once they found the kever already, and Baruch Ber, we don't appreciate who he was. You have to read the articles to appreciate who Baruch Ber was. Baruch Ber was from the Gedolei, the greatest of the greats. So he's exceptional. They even went married so many people from the family. You know, the Gedolim went to the kever, HaKametz Matzeva. Okay, that's an exceptional. So even then, you can argue also, if you would ask Rav Baruch Ber, I have no doubt in my mind, if you would ask Rav Baruch Ber, should we go and spend all this money and all this Bittul Torah to go from Eretz Yisrael, all the Rosh Hashivas, to go from Eretz Yisrael, and then from America, and an enormous amount of money was spent to restore the Kever, I have no doubt in my mind he would say, don't spend on me one penny, give all the money to Tzedakah, and sit and learn, and do what you're doing. Right? Isn't that what he would say? My mother always would say, from Rav Hinkin, when he was ill, he said, don't bury me in Eretz Yisrael, it's a waste of money. It's a waste of money. You bury me right here and give the money to Tzedakah. Rav Hingen was famous for saying this. He didn't call from this whole thing of going to Eretz Yisrael. Dead is dead. It doesn't make a difference really where you bury it. Dead is dead. As long as whatever it is, we don't know how
some
these things work.
Said they want to bury it because the children.
That's another thing. That's absolutely. That's another very important thing. And some say Pumfakadeh, some say Inachnami, you'll be buried here. But over here, what's the future of America? Do we really know? America is only 200 years old. 200 years is not even a paragraph in world history. So what's the future of Klal Yisrael? The future of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. There'll definitely be more of a zecher than there'll be. We don't know what's going to be in America. Yesh v'yesh. I am Panim Torah. There are many different approaches. But this is a very powerful possibility. One thing you cannot deny, that you can't go dismiss out of hand Kavod Hames. You can't dismiss out of hand, so they already died, and forget about it. The pasuk here makes it very, very clear. O Sheikh Dol, to go and say about the dead, too bad for you. And we'll just ignore you, we'll exploit, you'll exploit your matzav. That's not proper. That is cheref osei. Umechabel, you want to give kavod to the Shparchu, recognize the neshama. Recognize there's a neshama that's buried in this location, whatever that means, and choyne nevin. Where is the balance? You have to find a proper balance. Everything in life is balanced, because you just can't go and spend all your money on the dead when there are living people that need the money as well. And there are other priorities in life, but you just can't dismiss it out of hand. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Lamed Beis, but also Yidocha. Okay, really, it's pretty late, so we'll quote unquote pause very quickly. But also Yidocha Rasha, through his own evil, is a Rasha pushed away. The Choseh, now the Choseh, you have to add another word into the Pasuk. The Choseh b'Hashem b'Moso, the Choseh b'Moso Tzadik. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk Lamed Beis, entire Pasuk. But also Be'Eis Bo Ro Al HaRasha. When evil comes upon a Rasha, who nitcha me'Hashem? V'lo Yosef Livtoch Od Bo. It's a very powerful possible. The Rasha does not know how to deal with difficulty. Okay, yeah, the classic example is when they were taken to the death, to the gas chambers in one of the concentration camps. I don't remember which one. They took a parochas from Vilna that said on it, Zeh Hashar LaHashem Tzadikim Yovohu Vo. And as they marched the prisoners to their death, they marched under the shar of the parochah, Zeh Hashar LaHashem Tzadikim Yivoh Ovo. So there are many people who survived this ordeal and went off the derech from seeing that. Documented stories. How could it be that this parochas, it seems like everyone knew it was a famous shul, and everyone knew this parochas where it said Zeh Hashar LaHashem, this top of the mantle, Ad Kidei Kach, they're taking the parochas from the Hashem allowed such a thing to happen, to take the parochas from Vilna and to put it above the entrance to the showers or wherever it was, to the death camp, whatever. They went off the derech. They survived the war and they completely went off the derech. And then there were people pumfakert when they saw that it said Zeh Hashar LaHashem Tzadikim Yivoh Vo. This was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying that you're dying on Kiddush Hashem, Zeh Hashar LaHashem. So you have the same exact event, the same exact situation, and some people go all the way to the extreme one direction, and others go all the way to the other extreme. They go Chayzer B'Shuva. So that's what the Pasuk of here says. There are also, when a person suffers Ra, how do you react? So the Rasha, a person has a disposition to wickedness his whole life. He's been a rebel. He's looking to make trouble. He's been in the wrong place all the time. Then when this happens, this sets him off. But a tzaddik, pum fakir, he's choseh, he takes refuge. He takes comfort in seeing such a thing. I have comfort. Now I know that this didn't just happen by chance. This was Hashkocha Pratis that were dying al Kiddush Hashem Zeh Hashar LaHashem. Both same event can be used by the Rasha and the Tzaddik in entirely different ways. That is what the Metzilas Shan is Pasuk. Look at the Pasuk on the base. The Eisbo Ra'o Al HaRasha. When evil comes upon a person who is naturally evil, what does he do with this situation? Hu Nidche Me Hashem. He uses it as an excuse to be pushed all the way from Hashem. V'lo Yosef Livtoach Od. Until now, maybe I was a little bit of a believer. Maybe one day a year I came to shul. Now that this happened, I see this, never again will I ever step into a shul. Aval, mi, sheyachse b'Hashem, a person who has faith in Hashem, he lived a life with emunah, and now he comes into a matziv af b'hiyoso karv l'miso, and now when he comes into a matziv where he's close to death, yechashiv l'tzadik, he will be considered a tzadik. Why? Because he will not use this situation as an excuse. He's not going to use this situation to distance himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but adrabah, he'll use this situation as a way to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you mitzvah this very quickly. He says another interpretation, oh, Bavur Hara, another interpretation. Over here it's unusual for the mitzvah to give us two interpretations. Oh, Bavur Hara, Sha'asa, due to the evil the person did, Nitchehu La'asais Oidra. New interpretation. When a person does one Avera, Avera Goyrere Savera. When a person does one Avera, he does another Avera. Ki Avera Goyrere Savera. Avala Tzadik Asher Hayet Sahara Yas. When a tzaddik, when the yetzar comes to a tzaddik and tries to entice him to do an avera, yichase atzmo, he shelters himself, he runs away. Leman hes teto. What?
Maybe it should be a reish.
Leman hes taro. Okay, in order to hide himself, by reminding himself that I'm going to die, the Gemara says that the Yetzer comes upon you, you should remind him of Yom HaMisa. So according to the Rashi's interpretation, but also Yitche Rasha, due to a Rasha's sin number one, Avera Goyrere Sader, Yidoche Rasha, he does more sins. But a Tzadik, V'choyse, V'moso Tzadik, read backwards, a Tzadik, when he is confronted with the Yetzer, he takes refuge in the concept of Misa. He uses the fact that ultimately I will die, I will have to give din v'cheshbon, and that will be a reason for me to hold back and not be nichshol in the aver that the Yetzer is putting upon me. I will do the Rashi tomorrow because it's late.
He was looking for a parking space. Yeah. 2 hours he's driving around. Finally, in desperation, he says, "Rabbeinu Shlomo, you know we don't have a relationship. Get me a parking space. I promise I'll keep Shabbos a week kosher." Just then, a big truck pulls out right in front of him. He says, "Rabbeinu, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. I just found the spot."